Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus finally got his quiet time. That's how the reading from last week began, actually. Jesus had heard about the death of John the Baptist. He was also tired from all of the teaching and the healing that he was doing. Jesus needed some time to pray, some time to meditate and to contemplate what comes next. And as he left in a boat to go find that quiet place and that quiet time, crowds made their way ahead of him and they greeted him when they got off the boat. Crowds met Jesus with their needs, with their requests. They stood before Jesus and he had compassion on them. Last week we had the whole story of the feeding of the 5,000 men, including and then plus women and children. We watched as the disciples discovered that with Jesus, even the little we have, even the little we're willing to claim, is enough. And as this morning's gospel starts, Jesus then sends the disciples in a boat on ahead to the other side of the sea, and Jesus dismisses the crowd. And after the crowds were dispersed, Jesus finally got his quiet time. He went up the mountain by himself to pray. Now we could pause just there at that sentence and we could learn much. Because in each of the Gospels, Jesus shows us the importance of finding time to spend in prayer. We see throughout his ministry how important prayer is for Jesus. He spends precious moments in prayer, whether he is with and in front of a huge crowd or he is off alone by himself. Jesus is showing to all of us that prayer is a gift, that prayer is an actual opportunity to communicate with God. God listens when we pray. God responds when we pray. God loves it when we pray. So if all we get from today's gospel is that Jesus continues to encourage us and encourage prayer in our lives, even after it's been, you know, interrupted by 24 hours, if that's what we hear today, it's a good day. But so much else happens in the gospel story that I choose not to stay there on the mountain with Jesus, at least not in this sermon. Because with Jesus, we come down that mountain and we begin to go off to meet the disciples. And that's when all sorts of unnatural things start to happen. But let's start with the natural things. Jesus sent the disciples off in the boat to go to the other side, and he was going to meet them. Now, some of these men had been professional fishermen, and so boats were something that they were used to. So that was a natural. As they were making their way to the other side, a wind arose against them, and the waves were battering the boat. Headway was difficult to maintain, but all of that, too, is perfectly natural if you've ever been on a boat on a lake. So by early morning, the disciples were tired and worn out from rowing, from striving to make it back to shore, and that's when all the unnatural stuff starts happening. Because Jesus comes toward the boat walking on the water. Now, Jesus wasn't on shore, and he wasn't in the shallows splashing. Jesus was walking on the water. That's unnatural. Who can do that? Jesus can. Flaunting gravity, fluid dynamics, and even just common sense, Jesus comes to the disciples walking on the water. That can be disturbing to see, because that's how the disciples found it. And as tired and as frazzled as they were, they also became terrified, thinking that it was a ghost or something else that was coming out to get them. Walking on the water is unnatural. But as I look at this truth about Jesus in light of all of the parables that we've been listening to, this just might be another lived parable. Jesus walking on the water may be a way for us to look and see all of the other sort of unnatural things that Jesus does. He talks to sinners and to those who have been outcast from the world. Jesus pays attention to women. Jesus touches the sick and even lepers. Jesus teaches that love of neighbor is more important than any of the other 613 rules, and that love of neighbor and loving God are the utmost things in our lives. Jesus will go to Jerusalem, not as a conquering hero, but as a true Messiah, living love and care for all people, even those who don't like him. Jesus is not violent, not even when driving animals from the temple. Jesus is willing to lay down his life, even for the sake of sinners like us. Jesus dies and rises for us. Much of what Jesus does, much of who Jesus is, seems unnatural to the people and to the world around him. Even the disciples don't understand him at times. And here he comes walking to them on the water. Jesus comes. He hears the disciples' fear. And then he says to them, take heart. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. It is I. Jesus knows that things are a bit unnatural. And he tries to calm his friends. He tries to stave off their fear. He tries to let them know that it is him and that there is nothing for them to be afraid of. Jesus comes to all of us and to each of us in our fear, in our confusion, in all of those moments when we are most overwhelmed. And Jesus says to us as well, take heart, don't be afraid. It is I, and I am with you. That is a promise from this unnatural Jesus, a promise from our Lord and Savior. He is with us, and we need not fear. But that is shown most vividly in my favorite part of this whole Matthew version of this story. Because as Jesus is speaking to the disciples, Peter screws his courage to that sticking place and he says, if it's really you, Lord, command me to come out to you on the water. And without missing a beat, Jesus says, come. This is exactly what Jesus is hoping for, not only in that moment, but for his entire ministry, for our entire ministry. And so Peter steps out of the boat. Imagine that. You put your feet down, knowing that you should sink, and yet you stand. And he walks, too, for a few steps. Think about that. Peter walks towards Jesus on the water. And when Peter begins to sink, he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus is there to help, to return him to the boat, to calm the winds and the sea. Jesus hopes that we will all follow him into the unnatural world of God's love and care for all. Jesus looks at each of us and he says, come, inviting us to care for all of those around us. Now, sometimes that can be as difficult as stepping off a boat onto the waves. Sometimes it can be that difficult, and Jesus calls us. Jesus never expects us to begin waltzing on the waves. A couple of steps are all that is necessary, and it's always amazing. And Jesus is beside us so that we can expect the possibilities of miracles, and stepping off is enough. Listening to a victim of abuse and offering comfort. Helping someone in a parking lot. Developing a way to provide weekend meals for children who have none. Any or all of those kinds of things are available to us and so much more for us to step out, to step off, to walk into the world and do the things that Jesus calls us to do. For as we look at the world around us, Jesus looks at us and says, come. The world looks at all of that kind of stuff as being unnatural. The world tells us that we should look out for ourselves and don't bother with any of the rest of that stuff unless we can benefit from that attempt. But Jesus shows us that compassion for the needy, that time spent with the lame and the sick, the poor and the hungry, trying to do something is always the right thing to do, no matter how unnatural someone finds it. We are encouraged today to find time to pray, to find strength in God's presence with us, and then to get out of the boat and to walk into that world as we are able. We also see that when we sink, Jesus is there with a hand to support, with forgiveness and salvation to encourage us to try and try and try again. With Christ by our side, we always have hope, and that is great good news today and every day. Amen.